This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Ivy Hilliard.
In Jesus' name, we thank you for this time of fellowship around your word. We thank you for Jesus, that he's our high priest, he ever lived to make intercession for us. Thank you for your word. Your word is never void of power, and you always confirm the word with signs following. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide. We believe revelation truths will flow freely in this place, unhindered and unchecked by any force. Now, Father, I thank you that people have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and our lives will be transformed by the word. And we give you alone all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration for all that shall be accomplished and for all that shall be revealed in Jesus' name. And the people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, tonight we're going to start series of lessons on faith. And let me tell you why I'm doing this, because my assignment to teach the body of Christ is expanding. And as I travel, I see so many people who really don't understand the basic principles of faith. And so this faith summit is going to cover basic principles. I have really 8 lessons that I'm going to do. To tonight, to the following night, to the following night, and to the following night. And it will form a good scriptural basis for how to operate in faith. Because once you get it and learn how to operate in faith, your life is never the same. Amen? All right. So I want to thank you for coming out. And many of you have been in our church a while. You've heard me teach on faith. And so by you coming out and getting the faith refresher course, that lets me know that you really understand the importance of hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen. All right. Let's raise our Bibles. Let's give our confession. Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer.
Not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 9, there in Matthew chapter 9. I want you to look there with me in verse 27. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, Yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. This is the foundational text that we're going to use for these series of lessons. According to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, your faith holds the key to what you will receive from God. Your faith holds the key to what you'll receive from God. This first lesson, you may subtitle, Understanding the Importance of Faith. Understanding the Importance of Faith. As I travel around the country and preach in various churches and even talk to pastors, it is clear that many pastors, and of course if pastors don't understand, then it's difficult for that congregation to have a good working knowledge of faith. So what I'm going to teach you is the basic principles of faith. These are the principles that Dr. Bridget and I live by on a daily basis. These are the principles that have produced the ministry that we have. Faith is not difficult to understand. But you have to understand it, and if you get an understanding of it and get a working knowledge of it, it will transform your life. So our simple definition for faith is, I say it's simple, but it's kind of long. Faith in the context of this teaching is going to be a spiritual principle that taps into the creative power of God made available to man, whereby man can transform conditions and circumstances and situations in the natural realm that he has been given authority over. I said simple, that's kind of long, isn't it? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. As we leave, and I'll give you the definition again, but as we leave this text, Jesus is ministering to these blind men, and he says to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. So he put what they received, he credited what they would receive would be based on the measure or the development of their faith. So it is with you, so it is with me, that we're going to receive from God based on the development of our faith. So that makes faith a very important subject for us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, as I said, I'm going to get back to the definition. But in Hebrews chapter 4, there in verse 2, it is important to see what the scripture says there about faith. Verse 2 says, for the word spoken, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So I understand just listening to the word is not going to bring results, that I have to mix faith with the word. And the Bible says that's where the profit, that's where the productivity comes. Now, let me give you the definition again. So faith now, in the context of this teaching, is a spiritual principle that taps into the creative power of God made available to man, whereby man can transform conditions and circumstances and situations in the natural realm that he's been given authority over. Turn with your Bibles now to Acts chapter 16. When you read about, when you look at the word faith in the Bible, faith is used in many contexts. It's also used in the context to describe or denote a spiritual affiliation or then religious affiliation. When you hear terms like in the faith, it's not talking about the action of faith that we're going to be teaching in this lesson. So in Acts chapter 16, just so you can get a flavor of the difference of uses of the word, in Acts chapter 16, Paul here writes, talks about being in the faith. Look there in verse 5, it says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. They were established where? In the faith. And so you hear people using the term faith by asking a question, what faith are you? Meaning, what denomination are you? And so, but that's not what we're using in this context. In the context of this teaching, we're talking about this principle that God's given us, that if we will activate this principle, we'll work this principle, we can actually tap the creative power of God to change things in the natural realm that we have authority over. Turn now to Romans chapter 3. The Bible talks about faith as a law. So in that it is a law, it is a principle that will work for whoever is willing to understand it and work the principle. It's a law. It's a law. It's not a feeling. It's a law. Verse 27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So that's why I say it is a principle. And if I understand the principle and work the principle, I will get results. Now, believers are instructed. Believers have to be instructed in faith because understanding faith is not automatic. Understanding faith is not automatic. It's a spiritual function. And so if nobody instructs me in it, I'll never understand it. For years, we grew up in church hearing about faith, 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 but nobody actually instructed us in how to operate in it. So we had knowledge of something existing, but did not know how to properly use it. Turn with me in your Bibles now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I believe the clear understanding of faith starts with you understanding who you are, that you are a spirit being. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, I know many of you, you're veterans here at the Light, so you know about this, but hey, just hang in there with us, all right? Verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this passage let me know that I am how I'm created. We are tripartite beings. We are spirit beings. We live on the inside of physical bodies and we possess a soul. So I am a tripartite being. Now, it is with my body that I have contact with this natural three-dimensional world around me with my five physical senses. It is with my spirit that I am able to contact the realm of the spirit. And it's with the soul I'm able to contact the intellectual realm. So I got to understand that God created me in this fashion, and he has engineered me to be able to operate in several different dimensions. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Salvation for the believer is not the end of the life in Christ. It's the beginning. It's the commencement. It's when you get started. And many people approach salvation as though once I get saved, that's it. No, once you get saved, then the new life in Christ it starts. Because at salvation, the only thing that's affected initially is my spirit. My spirit is made alive to God, but my body is not changed, and neither is my thinking changed. So in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus, and he says something to Nicodemus that gives us some insight into what happens at salvation. Because Nicodemus could not understand salvation, you know, being a spiritual transaction. He thought it really was a man being physically born again. So let's pick it up there in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh." Watch this. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So he talks about the being born again as a spiritual transaction. So when I'm born again, what is made new is not my body. What is made new is not my thinking. And that is why I have to renew my mind. So it's important for the believer to understand that when I get saved, I need to now be discipled. I need to study. I need to understand the things of God. It is not something that automatically happens. It is tragic to see people get born again and then, you know, just stay in church for years, never learn anything, and think they are mature. It's tragic to see that. But that's the case simply because really, if a person is not brought to face with the idea that, hey, I really, you know, this understanding of the things of God doesn't come by osmosis. You know, that's why the Bible says we are to study, because only when I study am I able then, the Bible says, I need to understand how to control the thoughts of my mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's, I'm working as a believer to control my thought life so I can have God's best. Amen. Now, I want you to look with me in your Bibles to in Romans chapter 1. Why is faith so very important for every believer? Faith is important because after I'm saved, I'm as saved as I'm going to ever be. And the most important subject for me after salvation is faith. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we're instructed by the Bible to live by faith. So Romans chapter 1, are you there? Check with your neighbor. Make sure your neighbor's staying with us now. Romans chapter 1. There in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the Bible says the just do what? We live. We've got to embrace faith as a lifestyle, not as an emergency kit, not as something I do when I get in trouble. A lot of believers, you know, when they get in trouble, then they go pull out some faith tapes. No, you have to be, you have to understand and embrace faith as a lifestyle, as a lifestyle. And so the Bible says the just do what? We live by faith. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, without faith, the Bible says, we cannot please God. So we're looking at now why faith is important. It is important, number one, because I'm instructed to live by faith, to operate in life on an ongoing basis by my faith. Then I'm instructed, and I'm told, that pleasing God is impossible unless I do it by faith. And the whole purpose of being, the whole purpose of making Jesus Lord, one of the aspects of Lordship is to please your Lord. Amen? And then in Hebrews chapter 11, there in verse 6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him." So I understand now, if I understand faith is important because I'm instructed to live by faith. Faith is important because without it, I cannot please the Lord. Amen. Amen. So God's not going to cut any special deal. So that makes you understanding faith important because you cannot please God without and apart from faith. Now, turn with me in your Bibles now to 1 John chapter 5. Faith is important because it is necessary for the overcoming of challenges and problems. Now, in this world, the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. That's in Psalms 34. So the Bible says, look, as a believer, you are not exempt from problems. As a believer, as a part of the family of God, you are not immune from being attacked by the devil. You're not, you know, that's not an insurance policy that you won't ever have things go wrong. The Bible says, yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the key thing is we have a covenant with God that he will deliver us out of them all. And our deliverance is always a result of our faith.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, since you understand in this world, you're going to have problems.
Amen.
You're going to have them.
Amen.
You're not going to escape them.
Amen.
Are you the righteous?
Amen.
The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, you might say, well, I guess I just going to go be a sinner. No. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And the transgressor has no covenant with God to help him. So you're better off as a Christian. Amen. You're better off. Now, you know, people say, I've never had it so hard in my life till I got saved. You lying. The devil was whipping you left and right. That's why you wanted to get saved. Amen. Now, I'm not doubting that you're not having some difficult times, but the key to overcoming, the Bible says, is faith, and that's what makes faith so important. All right, are you there? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Even our faith. So now, if you are having some problems and facing some challenges, some discomforts, things that you would rather not be facing, you understand? The key to you overcoming them is your faith.
Amen.
Oh, I got to tell you, when I found that out years ago, it was just like a breath of fresh air because I didn't really know what to do with my problems. I didn't really know what to do with the challenges and situations I was having. All I thought you had to do was just kind of just tie a knot in a rope and just hold on, you understand? Just kind of hang in there. And they told me this in church. It's not true. That the Lord won't put any more on you than you're able to stand. You understand? And so, you know, you can't get mad at God, you know, because he knows what he's doing. And it was a real messed up situation. But then I found out God wasn't doing it at all. And I found out that he had a provision in our covenant whereby I could overcome every problem and every challenge. And then not only that, since the Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous, I got to understand, as long as I'm in the earth, I'm going to be overcoming something.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
But when you master faith and you live by faith, then overcoming is automatic. See, when you live by faith, then overcoming is automatic because you know, that's what your faith does for you. Faith causes you to overcome. So when problems and challenges rise, you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, well, we know what we got to do. We got to overcome this by faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, now, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Faith is important because it is the critical factor in the selection of a mentor. It is the critical factor in the selection of a mentor. It is the order of God to teach us by example. That's God's order. So we need examples. And the Bible tells us that we should look for something in those that we are going to have as our mentors. Those who we will look for to train and disciple us. And the Bible says, verse 12, Hebrews 6:12, be not slothful, but followers of them who through what? Faith and patience, what? Inherit the promises. Now, while we're there in Hebrews, turn with me your Bibles again there to chapter 13. It is the critical factor in selecting a mentor. It's the order of God to teach us, to train us by example, so we ought to look for people who got faith results.
Amen,
amen. All right, watch this there. Verse 17, all right? Verse 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of that conversation. Now, that word conversation there doesn't mean that they're talking, but it's talking about their lifestyle. But I want you to underline the word considering. Considering. Because, see, I don't think a lot of people consider when they look for a leader. See, when you, the Bible says now, I want to follow somebody who through faith and patience has inherited the promises. So that means instead of being despising somebody who is successful, that is the person I need to want to learn from.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And then the Bible says here that he says that considering the end of their lifestyle, considering how they are applying the principles in their own lives.
That's right. Amen.
It says, now, they've spoken the word to you, all right, but now let's consider, are they walking that word themselves?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, see, to me, it's critical when I hear a person say one thing and then do another.
Amen.
To me, that does not compute. Well, the Bible is true. The Bible is still true, even if a liar say it, but I'm not going to follow one.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because the Bible says I ought to consider the lifestyle. Amen. Now, so faith is critical in the selection of a mentor. Now, turn with your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We're looking now at why faith is important. And so you want to aggressively develop your faith. Because there are some things that cannot be obtained unless you're developed in faith. So yes, you know, you may be criticized as being one of those faith persons. That's a compliment to me.
Amen.
Because I see in the Bible how important faith is. So I make no apologies for being a faith man. Yes, I'm wall-to-wall faith because, number one, the Bible says I ought to live by it. Number two, the Bible says without it I cannot please God. Number three, the Bible says it's necessary for me to overcome the challenges in life. Number four, it's critical in the selection of a mentor. So I need to understand faith and I need to develop faith because it's critical. If I'm going to be a mentor, I've got to be a man of faith. All right. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, this is one of my favorite passages because this passage answered a lot of questions that I had, you know, as I began to carefully look at things in life. Because at times it looked like God's kind of unfair, that God has certain folk he like and certain folk he doesn't like, because it looked like certain folk get blessed and others don't get blessed. And so, you know, it's kind of make you scratch your head. Well, you don't want to, you know, accuse God because, you know, the devil got in trouble for doing that. So you don't want to get in trouble. But then you got to look at that. It's kind of look like, yeah, God says he's no respecter of persons, but it look like somebody's a respecter of persons because, you know, sometimes it don't look fair. Well, I read this and a light bulb went off on the inside of me because I saw the answer. There in verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Now, the Spirit of God breathed on that and let me know that this was a universal principle here. All of the promises of God are received by faith. Oh, that's awesome. All of the promises of God are received by faith. So just because I see a promise in the Word of God doesn't mean that that's going to automatically come to pass in my life. That answers the question, see? Because I read a lot of things in the Bible, what God promised, what God said was going to do, but it wasn't happening. And I grew up with the, I was misinformed. They told me that whatever the Lord wanted to do, he would just do anyway, which is an assumption that the will of God is automatic. And so if the will of God is automatic, then I don't have a role to play. I just kind of have to just hang in here and let the Lord have his way. But this scripture says the promises of God are received how? By faith. So that means that I have to have the initiative to release my faith for the promises of God. Now, the will of God does not automatically come to pass because it is clear from the scriptures the will of God for everybody to be saved. Yet everybody is not going to be saved. Why? Because there are those who will not do what is required to receive the salvation that has been freely offered. So I rest my case. The will of God is not automatic. So the will of God for your life, even though it's revealed in the scripture, will not become a reality, will not become your possession, unless you understand faith. Well, I got to tell you, that makes faith pretty important. It makes it very important, because that means I can live below the promises of God, below what God has for me, below my potential, simply because I lack the faith necessary to receive. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. So, all the promises of God are received by faith. Faith is critical for the selection of a mentor relationship. I need to see people who are walking by faith. It's necessary to overcome the challenges. I can't please God without it. And then, of course, the just shall live by faith. If the just then shall live by faith, how are we going to live by faith unless somebody instructs us? So that makes the teaching of faith so important. So in Luke chapter 17, it is clear that it is proper to teach faith. It is proper to teach faith. Amen. So watch this. Look at this in verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. It'll just happen. No, that's not what the Bible says. No, so Jesus, when they asked for instructions on faith, he took it seriously and began at that point to teach them and to instruct them on faith. So, and it says, the scripture says in verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And then he goes on. And then, of course, we know the classic example of teaching faith in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus took the time to instruct in faith. So I got to understand that it is proper, it is right, it is necessary for us to have teaching on faith. Amen. Because the disciples understood that they could not grow in faith without some instruction. Amen. All right, now watch this. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. There are four types of biblical faith that should not be confused. Four types of categories of faith that I don't want you to confuse with what we're going to teach tonight. First of all, there is the faith that is given us to be saved. That's the gift of God. That's in Ephesians chapter 2. Talks about by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So there is what I call saving faith. Everybody say saving faith. All right, and that saving faith is when I hear the word of God, the Bible says faith comes as I hear, and that's faith to be saved. And I am given at that time, according to Romans 12:3, the measure of faith. I'm given that measure at that time. Second category of faith we can see in the scripture is what the Bible calls the most holy faith. That's in Jude 20. The most holy faith. Now, most holy faith has to do with, the Bible says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's another level of faith, which we're not going to deal with in this course of teaching, that comes by praying in the Spirit. And when I understand that when I'm praying in the Spirit, what's actually happening, then it's a whole nother level of faith. But this is the kind of a foundational course, so we'll not touch that. Then the third type of faith we see in the Bible is the gift of faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. There in verse 9, it talks about how one is given faith by the same Spirit. Now, the gift of faith is where God supernaturally empowers the person to believe. Amen. Got it? And, of course, that operates, of course, in my life. That's how we're able to do some of the supernatural things we're doing. That when it drops, that gift of faith drops into my heart, man, I can believe for whatever God wants me to believe for. But that works as the Spirit will. That's, again, it's not the, see, you can't teach the gift of faith. Gift of faith is something that God just does. Amen. Amen. Now, the fourth type of faith that we're going to deal with is the God kind of faith. Everybody say the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith is the kind of faith that you can be instructed on. So turn with me in your Bibles now to Mark chapter 11. Are you there? The God kind. Everybody say the God kind of faith. All right, there in verse 22. Well, I think we'll back up to verse 20. It says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So they saw some results. It was because Jesus the previous day had looked at this tree and there was no figs on it and he cursed it. They heard him say the words and speak the words of death and doom to this tree. But the day he spoke it, at the moment he spoke it, nothing actually happened in the natural that they could see. And so in the morning when they come back by, they observe this tree. And verse 21, Peter recalling to remember saying unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Underline that, have faith in God. Many other translations have translated this, have the faith of God or have the God kind of faith. So now Jesus begins to explain how this faith of God or how the God kind of faith operates. So now in that he takes time to explain it, it must be something that's important. Otherwise, he would have just passed by. But he goes on to explain, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also in heaven, your also which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So now, the God kind of faith. Now, the God kind of faith can be present in your life in varying degrees. Because the Bible talks of having strong faith. It talks about having weak faith. Talks about having little faith. Look with me in your Bibles. Luke chapter 12. All right, in Luke chapter 12, we're going to see him mentioning a mention of a degree of faith. So I can have faith in varying degrees in various areas. So faith is not faith. Amen. And that is, my faith could be strong in one area and not so strong in another area, because the Bible does talk about faith, you know, being in various degrees, measurements. Look at verse 28. It says, if then God so clothes the grass which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O ye of what? Oh, how much faith? Little faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Little faith. So the Bible talks about faith being, you know, in levels of strength. So it talks there about little faith. Amen. Verse 10. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Just giving scripture proof text for this understanding that my faith is just because I have faith in one area don't necessarily mean I have strong faith across the board. Because the Bible talks about different degrees of faith. All right, there in verse 10, it says, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So there's a difference between levels of faith. And so I got to understand that and face that, hey, my faith may not be strong in all areas. But I can strengthen it through understanding how to increase it. And that's what this lesson series is about. So there are some tangible benefits to the study of faith. In other words, yes, to master faith, I think it takes intensive study. And unfortunately, few believers are willing to put forth the effort to really understand faith. Because it's a spiritual function, and it takes time, effort, and the renewing of the mind to operate like a spirit being. Amen. See, it takes time to do that. Remember, this is the God kind of faith, and so we're not accustomed to operating like God. And so there is a renewing of the mind that has to take place, and many people are not willing to pay the price. But if you will pay the price, you will overcome every negative situation in your life. Glory be to God. All right? You will allow God. You'll be a person who God can then use to inspire others in their faith walk. Remember, there are people who are looking for those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. So God needs those faith heroes in our generation so that others can be inspired to walk in faith. And that is one thing that happens when other pastors come to me and they see me. And they, of course, you know, they come and they want to know how you make it work. And I always bring them back to faith, because it's according to your faith be it unto you. Amen. The third thing that can happen when I will choose to understand faith, tangible benefit number three, is that it defines. Now, God can define possibilities for others through your faith results. In other words, you see, we're made like this, that once we see somebody else do it, we believe it's possible for us. Yeah. Now, that's not the highest way to understand possibility, to define possibilities for your life. The highest way is according to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So I don't necessarily have to, I should not necessarily have to see somebody else do it to believe, but it sure does help me in believing when I see somebody else do it.
Amen.
So now God is able, when I have faith results, to define possibilities for others who are watching me. Amen? Now, faith will produce a lifestyle of success that no other way of living can produce. It will produce a lifestyle that no other way of living. You'll supersede statistics and stereotypes when you live by faith. Glory be to God. When you live by faith, you're able to pass up and surpass, you bypass all the negative statistics that limit productivity. Amen. People say it can't be done. By faith, it can be. Amen. Hallelujah. When you operate by faith, another tangible benefit is that you become a living testament of the faithfulness of God. Job 36 and 11 says, if you obey and serve him, you spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Now remember, that's just a promise from the Lord, but the promises of God are received by faith. So then, when you're living by faith and you have the results, then your life becomes a living testament of the faithfulness of God. In other words, the promises that people read in the Bible, they can see them in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I say all the time, you know, I started preaching when I was a little boy, you know, and, you know, I got called at 9, preached the first sermon at 10. So I've been walking with God most of my life. Amen. You got it? I mean, really, you know, this is how I look at it. If I could see somebody who's been walking with God most of their lives, and they say they understand this word and obeying God, and I don't see the promises of God in their lives, then that makes me doubt this thing.
Amen.
But if I can see somebody who says, hey, I've been living for God for 40 years or more. Got it?
Hallelujah.
I've been obeying God. You know, I've been living for God. And then I can look at that person and see an exceptional lifestyle. I go, oh yes, Job 36 and 11. There it is right there. The man has obeyed and served him, and now he's spending his days in prosperity and his glory be to God. When you walk by faith, you get the opportunity to experience the promises of God that others only dream about. Oh, praise the Lord. Whew, all right, watch this. Turn with your Bibles to now to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So you have to make a quality choice that you're going to increase your faith. How many make that choice tonight? Tonight be a pastor. I'm going to buckle down. Yes, my faith is strong in some areas now, but I'm going to make a choice to increase my faith across the board. All right, watch this. When you do that, you can expect to encounter some resistance from the saints, from Satan, and from society. So I'm just letting you know. I mean, the devil doesn't sit back and just let you, you know, develop your faith. You will encounter some resistance, but you got to understand you overcome him as well.
Amen.
It is an automatic choice when you make a choice to develop your faith. It's an automatic choice that you are now making to be what God designed you to be. See, if you don't operate by faith, you can't be what God wants you. You will never live out your full potential. So it's a decision to become a serious student of the Word of God. And years ago, when Dr. Bridget and I heard about operating in faith, we had grown up in church, but nobody had ever instructed us. When we saw it, we became serious students of the Word of God. I mean, and I really believe it takes about 3.5 years. This is, you know, I didn't say before you get any results, but I think before you just really get comfortable living by faith. Now, I didn't say it takes 3.5 years to get any results. I didn't say that. I believe you get results right away. But I can tell you this, before it just becomes an automatic thing with you in living by faith, I've seen that it takes about 3 years. Of being a very serious student of the Word of God. Now, since we're going to study faith, we're going to study faith based on what the Word of God says. Amen. Not what man says, not what somebody else has experienced, but we want to do it based on what the Word of God says. And there are proper instructions the Bible gives us for interpreting the Word of God. And there is a test. Number one, you must look at Scripture in proper context. Number two, it must be in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. In other words, I need to see that principle, not in just one situation in the Bible, but in several other situations. It must be line upon line. In other words, it must be clearly revealed. It must be in precept. I must see that principle there. And then I need examples. I need examples. The Bible says the Scriptures were written for our examples. So I should see a pattern of that principle in action. So that's the scriptural test for accurately interpreting the Scripture. Because the Bible says that nobody can have their own private interpretation. Well, you can have it if you want to. It's not valid. I've seen a whole lot of people. And just because you hear somebody teach on TV don't mean that they know what they're talking about. All you got to do to get on TV is just pay your money. That's all you got to do. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you got it? Clearly revealed Word of God in context. Mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you see examples of it, then you're under no obligation to embrace it. Amen. And don't let folk hoodwink you by going to the Hebrew and the Shebrew. See, I've seen people say, I'm a diligent person. And so, you know, when people saw somebody, is the Hebrew say this? I go look it up. Or they say the Greek say, I go look it up. And I found a whole lot of them times they say that. It don't even mean that. Don't even say that. But that's one way. If you're not a student of the Word of God, I can say the Hebrew. Of course, there's no such thing as the Shebrew. You know, that's my term, the Shebrew. They see Hebrew, Shebrew, they brew. You understand? Another person just makes stuff up and, you know, try to put some theological validity to it by saying, you know, in the Hebrew. And as many times, it's not valid. But if I use this principle contextually, what is it talking about? That means, you know, what is that whole phrase talking about? Not just lift it out, but what is it talking about? And then line upon line, precept upon precept, mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, and by example, then I get a good comprehensive understanding of what the Scripture is saying. So now go back to Mark chapter 11. Understanding faith as a process. Everybody say faith is a process. Is essential. Understanding it as a process. So there are some definitive steps to the learning process that has to be respected. Number one is instruction. Everybody say instruction. That's exposure to truth. And that's what you're getting tonight, exposure to truth. And you know I've taken you through the Word of God. Number two is study. Now study is when you have to do an intensive upon yourself. You have an intensive focus on the Word of God. Number three is examples, seeing the principle lived out, either historically or contemporary. You got it? And then number four is practice. That is when you implement principles that you have studied. And then the fifth and final step in the learning process is mastery. And that is the product of consistency. I only master it as I am consistent in it. Over and over and over, as I consistently practice, that I reach the place of mastery. And when we look at Mark chapter 11 in the next session, that's our goal. Our goal is to get you to understand each part of the process so that you can master each part, so that you with confidence operate in faith. Amen. I'm out of time for this session. Hallelujah. Did y'all enjoy that? Oh, I enjoyed teaching that myself. Dr. Richard.